It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. Talking Wisconsin sports, two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Greats, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. Scotty Johnny himself is with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hi, John. What's going on, man?
Several things, I guess, but not a whole lot on my end. We are also very fortunate this week. We're joined by Wendy Hansen.
Hey, guys.
Joining us from distance out in Colorado.
Hi, Wendy. How's it going?
Pretty good. Excited to be here tonight.
All right. There's no delay. Obviously, the telephone lines are working tonight between here and Denver. That's awesome. Thank
That's
God.
A good thing.
Yeah. We live in the future. Yeah. It's so great.
Oh, do we? So I gotta clean out the outhouse after this one. So geez.
You no longer live in Turtle Lake.
Sorry. They shot.
I know. So first off, Wendy does do some stuff with Acme Packing Company. I believe you handle a lot of the social media feed for us over there, correct?
I do. Yep.
And
social.
Yeah. And where do people follow your Twitter? And if you could give that out.
My personal Twitter is Wendy Lou Who. Oh goodness, what is it? it is Wendy Lou Who 3. At Wendy Lou Who 3.
And if you want to see gorgeous photos of Colorado posted every couple days, it's a wonderful sign.
Place to see them.
And
make them all jealous.
Lots of wonderful Bucks, Packers, and Brewers stuff all the time too.
All the time, yes.
So the other things I want to make sure is to remember to also follow on Twitter. You can follow the podcast itself at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. And Aaron, can people follow you on the Twitter?
What's Twitter, John?
Exactly. I like calling it the Twitter, so I sound like I'm 80.
You can follow me at Twitter Talk. That doesn't sound good at all.
Twitter.com.
At Cheddar Talk. At Cheddar Talk. Yeah, at CheddarTalk.AOL.
All right. Yeah. Remember also that we are on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and much, much more. Please subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. It makes it easier for people to find the podcast and, of course, get it out to everyone we can get to. We like to
get everything. Five stars.
Of course. We've earned it. I think we've earned it, everybody. Five stars. Anything else?
We got Wendy here. That's worth the five stars alone.
If there was a six star.
Exactly.
If there was a six star, that should get it to us. All right. We're going to start everything off here then with our main event.
Oh, man.
Starting things off with the main event.
So first thing, we're actually going to start off differently this week. We normally are Packer-centric, obviously. There's not that much Packers to go on right now. And we're going to get into draft stuff a little bit later, trying to get on a couple other people to help us out with that, too. But what we want to start with is Wendy's request, the Yelich contract.
Y'all, I cannot even tell you how excited I am. Last Friday, I was just in Brewers heaven. Oh, my goodness. It is just I have been waiting for Milwaukee to do something like this for so long, to go all in on a player like Yelich. They finally pulled the trigger. Stearns and Council, I think, you know, really showed the testament to how well this organization has been playing the last couple of years. Major, just all the feels.
Well, some loyalty from Yelich too on top of it.
What is
Trout's contract worth? $400 million for 10 years? Is that what it was? $40 million a year for 10 years or something like that? Like Yelich is right there with him for talent. I mean, Trout's number one and he's like 1B. He's an unbelievably good player. And the contract that he signed to stay with the Brewers, I mean, that's a testament a little bit to the Brewers. But I mean, he reached out to do this, and you know, if you would have asked me, I don't know, 3 months ago, like, are you going to go buy a Christian Yelich jersey? I'd say no, like, because he'll be playing for the Dodgers by either traded to them by the end of next season, or will sign with them during the next offseason when his contract's up. But I mean, barring something terrible, like you may as well just put 22 up in the rafters right now. 9 years, he's here for the next 10 years. I'm going to go buy a Yelich jersey and rock that thing because he's our guy, you know. And man, just can we get 34 from the Bucks wrapped up, and we've got three of the greatest of all time in our state going right now. It's the best. I love it. This is awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, the point is it's a $215 million 9-year contract, but there's also a lot of deferred money. We're going Bobby Bonilla land here.
Yeah.
Because it will be deferred. We will be paying him until he is 50 years old. The contract technically with deferred money goes out to 2042. So they're going to defer $4 million each year from his contract. I mean, he's doing the Brewers a favor on that.
But he's doing the Brewers a favor on that. But to help himself too, like if he knows where he's at, he likes playing for the Brewers. But if he goes and gets that $40 million a year contract, the Brewers aren't going to be able to put anybody around him. He knows what's going on. Like he knows that if he straps them for cash, he's going to be a one-man show there. This allows the Brewers to actually go get someone to put around him.
Exactly. And build that talent around Yelich is huge. And I think, you know, it was smart on the Brewers' part. It was incredibly smart on Yelich's part. The thing, and this is, you know, just me being a Wisconsin sports fan and having that little nugget of worry in my head. It's good in the short term. I just worry about long term, because if for some reason, knock on wood, Yelich does get hurt or injured, we are kind of screwed, because that contract is binding. And, you know, looking forward, you know, to 25, if he does happen to get hurt, that kind of puts us in a tricky position to be able to afford other talent out there. So if that were to happen, I hope it doesn't happen. But that's just my one worry about this whole thing.
Roger that. And this is coming after a year that he got hurt down the stretch. Exactly. But and I do put a lot of that. It's kind of the CC Sabathia thing, that he was being rode so hard because he was playing so well. I think it was just more or less, it was bound to happen sooner or later. He was being so exposed to everything. I think with this, you're going to have to be smarter with him going forward. I do hope it was a one-time injury. But you are correct. But at the same time, I mean, it is the way the contract's done, it does kind of prevent the Brewers from really taking any massive hits. Like, it's not. What happens to the Angels if Mike? Well, no, because they're the Angels and they have tons of money. That's a terrible.
They have a separate contract.
Well, I mean, we sign them to the same kind of contract. I mean, or look what happened to the Twins when Joe Mauer went downhill in a hurry. Like, that really did. Oh, yeah. Like, when he retired, the Twins got a whole lot better in a hurry, because it freed up a whole bunch of money, because he was eating a whole bunch of money on a small market. I think his contract is a little bit more friendly to the Brewers on that behalf. But either way, I mean, it's great that he's one of the top talents in baseball. We're going to have him for a while. It's something for the Brewers to rally around. They'll have to be more smart about playing him, because now he is a long-term asset. Yeah. And people want to play with him. You know, he's a good dude. And he's good for the community. And I mean, what he loses in contract money, he's going to make up in jersey sales this week alone.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I mean, if people get out, you know, coronavirus and all that, sooner or later, he'll see that money.
Yeah. Well, I think if anybody has any, like, lingering doubts about long-term contracts in Milwaukee, it might be because there's a Ryan Braun figure who lurks in the back of our minds and reminds us that, I think we all thought that was a good contract in 2011. You know, it was one we were saying, yeah, signed a big extension. He took a little bit of a discount then. He was an MVP. The team was winning. He was young. And now we're like, oh, man, he is hurt all the time. And, yeah, when he's out there, he's fine. But there's something in the back of your head, I think, that you always think of with that, too, now is, I don't know. And it's harder because you don't want to say, obviously, I mean, the biggest problem with Braun was that, you know, he gets hurt and then he uses steroids and then he misses time and he hurt us that way. And he did a lot of things that were bad for the team. I don't think Yelich is any of those things, but there's always a twinge in the back of your mind where you're like, oh, this doesn't always work out great for small markets. And I got in an argument with someone on Twitter because they were trying to say that, you know, how great the Cubs are. I was like, well, you have the money to keep all your guys. And then they do, they're like, well, we drafted all of them. I'm like, right. The Brewers drafted a ton of talent, but they all end up playing somewhere else, it seems, eventually. We couldn't keep both Prince and Braun. It was not a thing the Brewers had an option of doing. The Cubs could have done that. In fact, they're doing it right now, essentially, with, you know, Rizzo and Bryant, although Bryant wants out now.
If the Brewers were the Cubs, we'd still have CC Sabathia. I mean,
well,
there you go. I mean, that's where you're at. So, but no, I think we need to, I think we just need to be happy about this and stop thinking about the long-term consequences on this one. Like, let's just enjoy it for the first couple of years. And if it's miserable 7 years from now, well, we knew we had it coming, but in the long term, I mean, he could go on to have a Robin Yount career too.
Yeah.
He could just keep playing and playing and playing. And eventually he'll just be a 280 hitter that gets 20 home runs a year and 80 RBIs. But you know what? You deserve that. If you keep putting it out there year after year after year, and he's proven it time and time again. And he's only had one major injury in his career to up to this point. And that was last season. Like I said, that was after being just driven into the ground, trying to get this team into the playoffs.
And it was a weird injury, like hitting your kneecap with the ball.
Very rare.
I think we're all excited about this. We're glad to see this going forward, and seeing the Brewers being able to lock up people like this in the only league where it is specifically designed to kill you if you're a small market team, because it's the only one that doesn't even pretend to have a salary cap.
I wonder if Manfred's going to come up with a new rule that if a small market team signs someone to 9 years, they can't play on the odd number years. That would be right up his alley.
Yeah. If you're a city below, whatever, you don't own your own TV network, your team signs somebody to 9 years, they can only play every other day. So, yeah, I don't know, something stupid just to attack small market teams. We got some other things I was going to get to with Brewers, but I think we covered most with Yelich here. So I'm going to kind of leave some of that off till we get closer to the end of stuff here. The next thing we do have, we did have a little bit of Packers stuff here. The big news everyone's been waiting for, of course, is the tailgate tour dates are set. They will be in May. May 15th is lacrosse, May 16th in Madison, and May 17th in Milwaukee. It is going to be a 10th year celebration of the Super Bowl team. So they will have Tremont Williams and Nick Collins. And I believe some of the other running backs and stuff from that team. I think Starks might be there, but yeah, they're trying to get, it's a bunch of players from the Super Bowl team, the Super Bowl 45 team, celebrating the 10th year of that. And that just actually makes me sad that it's been 10 years.
It makes me sad for the utter disregard for Northern Wisconsin and Denver. For one
No tailgate tour in Denver. Yeah.
I get no respect out here.
Yeah. Geez, which is the furthest north? I think La Crosse is the furthest north of those three cities.
Yeah, and that's the bottom third of the state.
Oh, yeah. No, it's down in the banana belt of Wisconsin, right along the river. Yeah.
Sorry, not even Spooner. Eau Claire.
They're not going to Spooner. nobody's going to Spooner.
They used to go to Superior. I met Aaron Rodgers in Superior.
Yeah, if they hit more towns, I mean, you figured you'd add somebody like Wausau or Eau Claire would probably be the next city on that list, right? I guess that'd be my guess. Those are the two next cities that come to mind for me. But yeah, I think you'd want to hit La Crosse and Eau Claire specifically just to remind the Vikings that they have no business on this side of the river. Schedule something into
they should just do a Packers tailgate in Golden Valley, Minnesota.
Yeah,
just right in the suburbs. Just hi, we're here. They would still get 50,000 fans to show up.
Yeah, by the zoo or something. Yeah, go down the southern suburbs by the zoo. Just sit, pack yourself right in the middle of the Mall of America. You'd be great. That would be great too. The only other news, I guess, Packers sort of related, is the CBA is being voted on right now. They've given the owners, I believe, gave an extension for consideration of this. I haven't read it. None of us have read the actual proposed CBA because it is over 400 pages.
No, it's like the Patriot Act. You're not going to get around to all of it. It's too long.
Trust
somebody's making a good decision somewhere.
And somebody out there is trying to kill us with it. So, some of the big things I did see on some of the there was somebody I was following, and I'll try to go find out exactly who it was. They were talking about one of the big problems. It's Eric Reed, E_Reed35. So he's talking to different lawyers about some of the issues with this CBA. One of the big ones is, like, you first off, long-term agreements like this are bad for one side. They're only good if you're winning the deal. If you think that things will change, you're not going for a 10-year deal. The 10-year deal is a very long one. It's going to lock them in, and they're saying, like, first off, they're, you know, you've got people who the average career now is for covering all positions. This is based on the fact sheet that was put out by these lawyers here.
4 days.
2.5 seasons. 3 years for quarterback, 3.5 years O-line. Average ownership, though, is 18.2 years. It's something that definitely is, it looks like it's meant to be more for
boy, and that ownership. 18.2 years is really skewed by the Maras and the...
Well, it's probably per person, but still, yeah, the Maras own it until they pass it along. And the attorneys here are Ben, is it Macellus and Ray Jenko. And these are important points to think about when you're looking at any sort of thing. The proposal still only gives 48% revenue to the players, while seeing that there's a potential increase of 48.5% or up to 48.5%, I guess, in there.
They're still the only major sport with a universal health care for their players.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, you'd think that the players would be, but they don't care. They don't care about that. They just care about getting as much money as they can in the 2.5 years before they're out. So,
and you would too. I mean, like, the big thing, I guess, is I think it's adding some spots to the roster. So more people are going to be in this. It's going to help the lower edge people of the contract a little bit. Which, I guess, if you're the owners, that's a smart thing to do. Give enough little things to make sure that the bottom half of the league is going to vote for it, simultaneously.
I mean, Wendy, how much better would the Packers be if they could have 60 people on their roster every year instead of 53 men, so they could have kept Taysom Hill and the other people like that? I mean, what do you think? Like,
I don't know. I mean, my thoughts always go to injuries. And how the Packers are always, especially come preseason time, we're really good at getting hurt around just right before the season. So to have, you know, that extra manpower definitely would be to our advantage. I don't know. But then again, you know, you have to look at the caliber of the types of players that we would be able to get with that number. So it just, yeah, it's kind of a toss up.
Well, it always seems like the Pack. I've been arguing this with the, I mean, long-term listeners, which I don't think we have any of them. My mom listens a lot, but
our
she
friends
would
in
know
the Netherlands.
I have been arguing about a minor league for, you know, when the what was it, the UFL that was around the last one, and now the XFL, like some sort of minor league program to like get people ready to play, like, because the NFL is completely reliant on the draft and people coming out of college. There's nobody, like, anybody who's more than 22 years old has, I mean, a lot of people don't even hit their prime until they're, you know, 27, 28 years old. You know, anybody who can continue on playing, there are no minor leagues for football, and the roster positions are garbage, you know, and the Packers have not necessarily drafted extremely well, but the undrafted free agents that go on to the practice squad that we ended up losing, you know, at some point to another team, you know, it'd be nice if we could just have roster spots for them. How about make the practice squad roster spots? That'd be nice. Now, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So there don't have to be a whole bunch of rules and stuff like that. And just,
you could pay them something better.
They can come play when someone gets injured, and, you know, you don't have to play this, hey, they're going to be free agents for a day and maybe we'll get them back. Even though we drafted them or picked them off undrafted free agency, trained them, got them ready. And if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't know that they're good. But here you go. We don't have a spot for them. So
here's a thing I guess I had not heard anybody else mention until I read this legal breakdown. For active NFL players who receive an injury and become permanently disabled due to field activity, the current CBA says that each one of them will receive $250,000 per year for being disabled while playing football. This agreement would reduce it to $48,000.
What?
Like, what? How are you doing that? I guess nobody thinks they're going to be one getting injured, but that's a ridiculous cut.
That's rough.
We're going to make you play one more game, and we're going to
another game it. And a longer playoff.
I mean, that's the pension games. I get when I leave the military, but you know, hey, but they're professional football players, so they should be compensated better. Anyways, that's another podcast for another station, but let's go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's a part to being said that they are trying to play the lower tiered players against the upper tier players. But in terms of a long-term agreement at this point, it's not going to get – they're foreseeing such growth, at least in the sport, and the increase in international games will happen with this. And I guess the owners have specifically said 17 games is not a negotiable thing. What should happen on the other side is they're like, cool, if you're not negotiating that, we have non-negotiable concessions that are going to happen. It's like – because, yeah, I mean, they should be getting more health care. Lifetime health care should just be a thing.
Football is just like any kind of politics, and it's just the gap between the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor. I mean, think about the one who pushed the last CBA through was Drew Brees. Well, Drew Brees makes a lot of money and is still playing has played for 18 years in the league, 19, whatever it is. Sure.
32.
I don't have facts because I don't look at things. But anyhow, but I mean, Drew Brees did help push through the last CBA, of course, because he doesn't have any skin in the game. How many of those players that were lower tiered? Yeah, it's the upper echelon players that are going to have long careers. Of course, they're pushing for that, and they don't need, you know, they're not the poor kid from Oklahoma that his whole dream and his entire family is relying on him making it to the league. He gets bowled out after 2 years because he's a backup offensive lineman. He takes a helmet to the side of the knee and he can't play anymore. You know, he doesn't have the money built up that Drew Brees does. So of course, I mean, they're playing the rich against the poor, and, you know, and these younger players look up to these players when they come in. You know, the people who come into Green Bay, they look up to Aaron Rodgers, and that's Aaron Rodgers. And of course, I'm going to listen to what he says, you know, so it's kind of garbage what's happening with this whole CBA. I don't like it. The other leagues, all three other major leagues, it's all pro players. NBA is so pro player. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But it's a very different world there. Moving then, I guess, helping me on that transfer, Aaron, moving and transitioning ourselves into basketball mindsets. We're going to talk about the fact that the Badgers basketball, men's basketball team, is going to be the one seed in the Big Ten tournament. A couple weeks back, we kept saying, like, the Badgers are still in play for a 20-win season. And I think last time we were kind of talking about it, they said, well, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I guess. We said they had to beat, you know, split with Michigan and Indiana and win the two home games, and they got 20 wins. They won all four of those games. They won all four of those games. They're the one seed, not just getting the double bye, which if you don't, for anyone who doesn't follow the Big Ten tournament, with the number of teams they have, the top four teams don't play till Friday. The top eight, you know, the next four teams do play on Thursday, and the tournament will start on Wednesday. So there's two full days of basketball in which the Badgers, the Spartans, the Terrapins, and the Illini are all going to be sitting. They're going to sit until Friday, and the best part of the bracket is Michigan State and Maryland are on the other side of it. We wouldn't see either of those two teams unless they played in the Big Ten title game on Sunday.
Right.
So
Wendy can probably back me up on this one, being a lifetime Wisconsin fan. I said it on this show last week. I was like, all they have to beat is Northwestern, and who was the other team they had to beat?
Minnesota to
win out and be a 20-win team and potentially get the number one, and they did. And I didn't think that was going to happen at all. Here we are looking at the top, and, you know, all the fire Greg Gard people are looking pretty dumb right about now.
I was definitely shocked, and I hate to admit it, but I was a little bit of that group just all because right. it, you know, I did not see that progression happening, and they did it, and holy cow,
Well, especially after Kobe Calais left the team, yeah. I wasn't sure. You know, it looked terrible. And John, you can edit that out if you want to or not. I did that intentionally. We're working on sarcasm on a podcast here, but yeah, no, it looked absolutely. It looked like it was going to go downhill, and they responded with wins instead. Mm-hmm. You know, and now he's out playing Nebraska ball. Good for him. But no, this team looks good. Like it. Invigorated and like they're gonna do some damage, and I mean there's talk of them being even up to as far as a 3 seed in the tournament now. So
yeah, I think I've seen that Lenardi's got them. I think last I saw was a 4. If they can do a couple things here, 3's not out of the question, and anything to get away from a 5 seed, that's what I want, because 5 seeds just always scare
they
me.
Lose to 12 all the time. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Why do we have an NBA tournament committee anymore? Why don't we just make Joe Lenardi? He just puts the tournament together.
He kind of does. I mean, he seems to know it well enough that he definitely gets the picks mostly right. So it definitely looks a lot like what he has. I don't know if anyone else saw it this week, but the now famous, at least Wisconsin famous, dorm where they wrote "Fire Greg Gard." They have now put up "We're sorry, Greg Gard" in the same windows.
Okay.
So good for them on that.
They learned their lesson. Good job, guys.
The biggest things on this team is that they came together very well after that Kobe King, after he left them, after that Iowa loss. And they only lost one game after that. And it just, Trice really has played as a point guard since then. He's scored several times. He's had several big games where he has been able to make a lot of shots. But like the game this last week against Indiana, he didn't score till the game was almost over, it seemed like. And the Badgers trailed pretty much that entire game. But Trice with 5 assists and making plays happen. I mean, everybody else, the Badgers went with a big lineup to match Indiana. They had, I believe, Ford and Potter and Reavers all on the floor to start the game. And all of them went in double digits. And pulled ahead at the end, Trice hitting big shots. The change in this team as they went down the stretch from getting the ability to have Trice trust everybody around him. And, I mean, when what happened is you lost Kobe King, but then you essentially added in Potter in the same basic role at times. Increased height, kept the athleticism about the same maybe. I'd say it's probably at least close, if nothing else. And if you've got the offset for the amount of height difference there, it's so good. And they just played much better team basketball. They were able to trust each other a lot down the stretch. And the biggest one is Trice had to trust people, because he was not passing the ball as often early in the season as he was at the end. His turnaround is the biggest. He was the one I complained about most through the season. And he's been playing really well down this last 10 games here and really looks like he believes in all the guys around him. So
big. And we talked about this last week too. Was it Trice or Reavers that just had a 0 point, a total Tony Snell outing where it was 0 points, 0 assists, 0 rebounds in like 20 minutes. It was one of those two. I just remember. And it was just an abysmal game. So it was probably. Yeah.
The thing is like, there's enough other people. Somebody seems to step up. And they find ways to make things happen with that, and it's definitely made this team better, and they look good heading into this tournament, and then hopefully, you know, at least make some kind of run. Yeah, Sweet 16, another Sweet 16 would be fantastic. Badgers are now the 18th ranked team in the country. So, yeah, it's been a fantastic turnaround for Wisconsin basketball in a year that we kind of thought might be a down one, and there's a top 25 recruiting class coming in.
Yeah.
And we're only graduating one guy who played significant minutes, Pritzel. Everyone else is coming back on this team. It's a nice time to be watching Wisconsin basketball still, because
it's good turnaround too, because they were in the national championship game five years ago.
Yeah, five? I think that's right.
5 years ago, 6 years ago, five. I mean, a team shouldn't go as far down as they did and not rebound as. I mean, it's good. I mean, this is upward trending for the Badgers basketball team. And yeah, you're right. And we didn't see this. I mean, like, just as far as 2 weeks ago, we would have been saying, you know, they're still just trying to get in the tournament. Number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. Come on. We would have lost money betting on that. Because I was still at like maybe number three. Yeah, here we are. There you go.
Yeah, it's awesome. Crazy.
And Ohio State's number seven.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So they're going to be playing though at least a whole extra day. If you want to talk about Wisconsin basketball that is not trending in the right direction right now, that's Marquette, unfortunately. They have not had a good March. Last time I talked, we were talking about they beat Georgetown and lost to Seton Hall. Seton Hall looks like they're going to win the East, at least regular season standings wise. I guess they're all tied now. Creighton Hall, Villanova, or Creighton. I get them used. Creighton Durham Hall is a high school in the Twin Cities. My cousins went to. So Creighton, Villanova, and Seton Hall all tied right now on top of the Big East with Providence, who's been on a tear, a game back. Marquette, five games out. They're still not going to be doing anything in terms of the Big East tournament right now. Biggest problem is then they lost at DePaul, and they lost to St. John's. Now, not the St. John's Johnnies, but they, not Minnesota. The St. John's, which if this was 1982,
St. John Cobbers?
What is that? Sorry, I forget which one.
Let's not expose Wendy to that. Stupid
Concordia. Yeah, Minnesota D3 colleges have the worst names in all sports.
St. John Johnny's, the St. Augustus, the Augies.
Augustus
Adolphus. Just whatever the other word is.
Gustavus Adolphus Golden Gusties.
Oh, wow.
The St. Olaf Olies, St. Thomas Tommies. Yeah, it's fantastic.
It is Minnesota, so.
Yeah. Minnesota Duluth at least are the Bulldogs, not the Duluthies. So that's a good start.
They're not D3 at least, though.
But you could argue that Goldie Golfer is almost up that same train. I'm looking up for my remote.
Have you ever seen the story of how Goldie Golfer, who by the way is a seven-banded ground squirrel, is actually based on an old cartoon about how like people were stealing money from the university or something, and there's a cartoon of gophers going into a bank and coming up and walking out with money. And so that's where they called them the Golden Gophers, is this cartoon of gophers like taking bags of money out of something. And so it's not necessarily a great thing. It was a political cartoon making fun of the university. But yeah.
So Wendy, just, I mean, so we're sidebarring and going off on
which is what we
right
do.
Now, so you may as well know that on this podcast that we will go on 10-minute tangents just bagging on Minnesota because we have both lived there and both had to deal there. With it. So, like, if you got any shots at Minnesota that you ever want to just put out there, just go ahead. We'll run with it.
Yeah. The one good thing I will say about Minnesota is they invented the Juicy Lucy.
That is an excellent, excellent contribution to society. Yes.
My wife always hates the story. She told me one time, but her great grandfather at one point had some friend who was trying to get him to invest in a business he was trying to start. And he didn't get involved at all because he said, "Who in the world is going to buy clear tape?" Yeah, it's 3M now. And so Trina gets so mad. She's like, "That should be my money." And so, of course, anytime I can buy 3M, I'm buying 3M materials because it's so great. It's like, hey, I got you some 3M tape and I got some 3M bulletin board with stuff here. It's great.
You better thank God that he didn't invest in 3M because he wouldn't know Trina. He would invest in 3M.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah, I'm quite a catch. That's a lie. Anyhow. Marquette, going from Golden Gophers back to Golden Eagles. Marquette is going to have to play Seton Hall to start the Big East tournament on March 12th. So that's going to be the end of Marquette season until they get into the tournament, I hope. But they did not end well. This was not where, I mean, they were at points like 19th or 18th in the country. And they're going to end unranked going 12, they're 12 and 8, or, pardon me, 18 and 12, pardon me. Right now, in the bottom half of the Big East, they have a losing record in their own conference. I'm going to say it's not a guarantee that they get in. I haven't checked Lenardi's look on what Marquette could be, but the only thing going for them is they have Marcus Howard, and he has been very, very good.
Right. But as we spoke on this show 3 weeks ago, I mean, it's not like when he was at he's not like Carmelo Anthony at Syracuse. He's not going to carry him to a national championship by himself.
Well, they had Warwick on the team too.
He's a fourth year senior when people don't make it past their first year if they're good enough to make it to the league. And he's a volume shooter. The entire team's based around him. Name one other person on the team. I can't.
Well, I could have named a couple. I mean, Bailey and John and Aneem. But I mean, like, none of them are that great. Aneem averages 13.1 a game in 32 minutes. McEwen is getting 9.5. Those are their three guards at the top. Bailey and Kane down at the bottom with John coming off the bench. I mean, they're all getting, it's like 7 and 5 points each. The big problem is there's not a real two. There's a bunch of guys who are threes and fours. And I don't mean like playing the three or four position on the team. I mean, like, the third best player on a good team, the fourth best player on a good team. These are guys who could be contributors on a Wisconsin team, but would not be Potter, would not be Reavers. They don't have somebody who's Reavers. They have like a Trice without a Reavers and without a Potter and without a Ford. You know, so it's they just don't have a real guy who can step into that next spot. Whenever they're down, what they do is they run high ball screen. And they just try to get Howard open for a three. Yeah, I mean, they simplify it, and they just try to run it through Howard as much as possible. He's the only real scorer on that team, full-time scorer.
Well, and did more time on Marquette than I thought we were going to today.
That's the sadder one. Like, we're just happy about the Badgers. The Marquette one is just kind of just falling apart at the end of the year. I mean, their last two losses are to the bottom two teams in the Big East. I mean, DePaul and St. John's. St. John's now, the win over Marquette put them to 16 and 15 overall, 5 and 13 in the Big East.
Gosh.
DePaul, 3 and 15 in the Big East. I mean, like, those are the teams that Marquette just lost to. That's not going to get it done. Those are bad losses. They're going to haunt you, and maybe you don't get in. I guess, like I said, I didn't look at what Joe Lenardi does, and that's as close to gospel as you can get on a tournament. But this team doesn't have it right now. They just don't. They're going to be a one and done in their own conference tournament because they couldn't beat these bottom two teams.
Yeah. And I think mentally too, that just takes a huge toll. Cause when you lose to a team who is that bad, it messes with, you know, the way that you play and the way that you think about playing. And, that just kind of sets them up for failure right there.
Yeah. So that's where our college basketball is lying right now. And we don't have all that much for hopeful in this week in terms of what the Bucks were giving us. Bucks are playing right now in a game, and we'll say it this way too. Wendy didn't go to the Bucks game, though she had a chance. And I like to believe it's because she really wanted to be here with us.
Aww,
and we know that's,
thank you, Wendy,
literally not true, but
sorry. I've been walking around. My kids stole the remote. I was trying to turn on the basketball game in the background. I wanted to see what was going on here because
they are down. They are down right now to a 42-21 Denver team, but it's a 89-81 Denver up in the fourth quarter as we record on Monday night. This is another one of the ones. It's been a rough week for the Bucks. They end up having they're losing three of their last 10 now. They're still on top. I mean, it's not that's knocking them off of a lead here or taking them out of the conference lead. But, they're still 7.5 right now ahead of Toronto. And if they lose, it'll just be 7. And the season's winding down. It's not that. They're having a bad stretch here.
Yeah, no, and we talked about this last week, too, because they were coming off the win against they lost to the Heat during that one, and that was after they had that weird, you know, they were at the Hornets and then at the Heat, and they beat the Hornets, and it was like, oh, and coming up here, and then they ended up beating the Pacers pretty handily. And then there was a big showdown with the Lakers, which they played like absolute hot garbage. And then yesterday lost to the Suns out of nowhere. Well, I say out of nowhere, but during pregame, before we started the show here, before the podcast, we were talking about that. They always lose to the Suns for whatever reason. If they lose tonight, which they are well on their way to doing right now, they will have lost 4 out of their last 5 games. How's that?
Yeah, Suns are a weird bugaboo for the Bucks over the last 2 years now. Like, we had a losing record against the Suns last year. And we're still the top seed in the East. But yeah, it's just whatever it is they do is just something that the Bucks do not counter well for whatever reason. The one against the Lakers is the one that, I'll admit this, is just driving me insane. And it's not about how the Bucks played. I mean, they were in that game. Giannis tweaks his knee a little bit, gets an MRI, and it turns out he's okay. The biggest thing is suddenly they're saying, well, LeBron now is just, he's got to be your MVP lead. You know, he just beat the Bucks. You're like, nobody had this conversation when we beat the Lakers earlier in the year. Because what's happened is they played two games, they split them, which means that LeBron is the better player. And you're like, well, first off, he's not the best player in his own team. Not right now. And he's playing because he's deferring entirely to AD. Because AD is the better player right now, and he needs to keep him happy to keep him on the team. I'm not saying LeBron's not great, but I would still lean Giannis. And I saw a great tweet with something like, oh, it's going to be like, oh, every month it changes. Man, who's the MVP? Is it Giannis or so-and-so? Is it Giannis or this person? Is it Giannis or this person? You're like, it's Giannis. If every month it's Giannis or the other person, you know, then the answer is, here it is, November, Giannis or Kawhi MVP. December, is it Giannis or Luka? January, is it Giannis or Harden? February, March, is it Giannis or LeBron? Like, Giannis is the only one in every discussion. I mean, and he's the best player.
But I want to defer to Wendy here because she lives outstate, and sometimes when we're stuck here in Wisconsin, you know, we get kind of tunnel vision on stuff. And I was outstate on vacation and some other work stuff here recently, and got to hear people from outside the state talk about this. And the NBA is a very polarizing league into which factions and who this, that, and the next thing, because there's only a certain amount of really big top end superstars, five or six of them. So I ask you, Wendy, living out in Colorado now, being outside of Wisconsin, what's kind of the take on who's the MVP?
Honestly, Giannis is the number one name that I have heard being tossed around. And even, you know, going outside of the MVP arena, like, the Bucks are the team to beat. Anyone who, you know, is a huge basketball fan knows that I think, you know, they may have, you know, a few other teams that are in the mix, but they know that they have to beat the Bucks in order to, you know, move on and get that top spot. And I think that's, you know, being someone who has been a Bucks fan for a really long time, and has never seen that in other fan bases to, you know, get that appreciation. I feel so damn proud, especially, you know, not living in the state anymore, because, you know, I kind of can be a little bragful and represent that way. But yeah, overwhelmingly, it's been Giannis all the way. And the Bucks are just the topic of conversation, which, you know, is huge to see.
Right. And you can, and, you know, back in the day, you know, you could wear a Frank or a Burkowski jersey out somewhere and nobody would know what the heck you're doing. If you wear a Bucks Giannis jersey out on the town in any city in the United States right now, people know who he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right up there. I mean, and you're in a town right now too. The team that they're playing right now, the Nuggets, are number three in the West. They're a very good team. Like, the fact that the Bucks are losing on the road to them doesn't surprise me at all. It's just kind of the overwhelming fact that, you know, they're in the middle of a really tough stretch, and it's kind of making them seem a little bit more human than normal. But I hope this is just a little bit of lethargy and just a little bit. It's been a long season. We're coming up on the playoffs. We've been whomping everybody all year long. The only thing that really kind of makes me sad is that if they lose tonight, they're going to be 53-12, which means that it's going to be all but impossible. They would have to win out the rest of the season to become part of the 70 win club. And if they would have become part of the 70 win club, it would have cemented this team as one of the best of all time. Mm-hmm. I mean, the best record of all time belongs to a team that didn't even win. I mean, it's just like Major League Baseball with the Seattle Mariners with 100 and I think it was 112 wins. They didn't make it out of the first round of the playoffs, just like Golden State won 73 games and didn't win the finals. I mean, but either way, they'll always be on the topic of conversation if you win 70 games. And I was really hoping they'd get to this point, but I, you know, whatever. I'll take what they're doing anyways. This is great. Let's just enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
It'd be nice if they could, you know, do those things, but it's still, it's just going to be nice to get a chance to have a great team and feel good about that. And that's really all I want right now. I mean, those two things are the big things we wanted to talk about this week. We'll see if they
can
pull this off.
As long as the 76ers are still losing, that's all I really care about.
That team is garbage. They're just terrible right now.
Hot trash.
So
to think that I was thinking earlier this year that if the Bucks would have played it right, both Embiid and Giannis would be on the Bucks right now. No, whatever. He's a whiner. They can keep him.
Yeah, not too terribly upset by that.
And who likes Philadelphia? It's a garbage town. Jeez. Just lost all of the listeners in Eastern Pennsylvania, but just gained a bunch in Western Pennsylvania. Jeez. Simultaneously.
All right. So that wraps up what we have in our main event section. So we'll take everything else that we have, getting over our remaining Wisconsin sports in our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right. So for the last call section here, the couple things we'll go over here is it was hockey tournament time for conference tournaments here. UWMN, they lost immediately. They had a massively embarrassing loss on Friday night. I think it was 9-2 final. It was one to give up on early. Ohio State got out big. And the way they do it is it's the best of three. First to two wins. They took Ohio State to overtime in the second game and ended up losing a 1-0 overtime game. So UW is eliminated from the Big Ten tournament. Ohio State will move on. They were the one seed, and that's the end of their season for UW men. Disappointing. They have a lot of talent. It's very young, but they did not do enough to get out of the basement of the Big Ten. They finished last. So the women's team, though, also actually was playing Ohio State in what is the WCHA, the Western Collegiate Hockey, which is where UW's men used to play. They ended up losing. They won, got into the WCHA championship game, and then lost to Ohio State. So Ohio State takes home the women's WCHA championship. UW still getting into the tournament. They will be playing Clarkson in what is a rematch of last year's championship game. So that should be an interesting one right away. Badgers have a lot of good talent in there. Abby Roque having a fantastic year. WCHA Offensive Player of the Year and WCHA Player of the Year. So good for Abby on that. I had the very good fortune of being able to go watch UW Eau Claire and UW Stevens Point play in the WIAC championship game of men's hockey. Point got out to a 2-0 lead in about the first 8 minutes, it seemed. And from there on out, Eau Claire absolutely dominated every aspect of the game. They were faster. They were better in their lanes. They were better on their passes. They were more dedicated to the defense. They had better discipline in the way that they were running things. They put four goals on Point, and it could have been six. They had one where they got the puck on a deflection with a wide open net, and the guy just put it wide. Could have been a lot worse. Ended up being a 4-2 win for the Blue Golds. Blue Golds move on to the tournament. They will not have to play in the first week, I believe. So they're number four in the country right now. They will have a home game against the winner of the University of St. Thomas Tommies and Lake Forest, Illinois. So they'll be playing one home game in Eau Claire. If things go as they are, they'll go play in Buffalo, New York against the winner of Utica and either Babson or Wesleyan. St. Norbert also lost. They lost a close one. I believe it was 3-2 to Adrian, which is in Michigan. So they don't have a crazy name. I believe they're just the Bulldogs. They're not a Minnesota school, so they have something less crazy. So okay. St. Norbert, who is a powerhouse in D3 hockey this year, they were the 11th ranked team coming in. They lost this game, and they will not be in the tournament this year. So good year for UWSP. Good year for St. Norbert's. Not good enough for what's going on here. Good luck to Eau Claire moving on then. One of the other fun stories that came out this week, or maybe it was towards the end of last week and I didn't catch it, Holiday Faceoff is going to be starting again for UW, and they're going to have some interesting stuff going on there. That is going to be a four-team hockey tournament that will be hosted at Fiserv Forum.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. I was like, hockey at Fiserv Forum sounds awesome. That arena is fantastic. It's a great place to watch basketball. And it's just a really nice place with a lot of a good space around it, too. But yeah, they've got some good programs coming in there. Clarkson's going to be there for the first one. UConn, who I guess I've never heard them playing D1 hockey before. And Arizona State, who, if you don't know D1 hockey, Arizona State is a very good D1 hockey program now, even though they've only been a team for, I think, 3 years now. Pulling a lot of talent from around Arizona. So that should be fun, and that would be very interesting, and I will definitely be looking to see how that goes coming up here. One of the last things I'll say then in terms of Wisconsin sports this week is that the WIAC and Wisconsin Private School D3 Pro Day will be March 11th at UW-Whitewater. So what they do is they have a pro day for all UW, Wisconsin, Madison, UW-Madison team players. They have their own pro day at Madison. There's a separate pro day that'll be all of the D3 players in the state coming together. They're going to invite a whole bunch of players, some of the guys who are at least possible draftees are going to come down there and have a pro day all together to make it easier for scouts to come see the D3 talent in this state. Like I said, Oshkosh and Whitewater have been national powerhouses the last couple of years. Lacrosse has had a couple. I mean, they were great in the 90s, and they've had some other good players recently. Of course, Bill Schrader, one of our more famous NFL players. But yeah, so it's cool. If you have a chance to go see, be around that area, I'm sure you can find a way to at least watch. Not that it's going to do all that much, but it's also great to have something like that for all those players who do so much and are. Many of them are going to be very interesting. UW-Whitewater has a lineman who's at least being considered in some places, so it should be fun to hear how that all turns out there, too. And that kind of wraps up all the things that we have here. Wendy, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we get out?
I think the only other thing that I wanted to talk about that kind of surprised me was Adam McClavey. He did an interview or he wrote a piece on Ryan Braun this past week, and it talked about how he was such a huge player in the Yelich contract and how, he kind of took sort of a mentor role with him on the team and how much Yelich looked up to him. And I think, a lot of us still kind of hold that a little bit of, I don't want to say grudge, but, kind of disappointment, I guess, in Braun and what he did a few years ago with the doping scandal. But he's really proven to be just a good guy. Like I think he's redeemed himself in a lot of ways. And to see, someone like Yelich look up to him like that and be, such a huge reason as to why Yelich wanted to stay with Milwaukee was kind of cool to see. So I think, hopefully that changes some minds about what people may think about Braun.
Okay. There were a couple other things, I guess, briefly I'd say, is that Wisconsin had a couple really cool things here recently with Beata Nelson got recommended for the, I want to make sure I'm saying the award correctly here. It's the AAU James E. Sullivan Award. So she's a swimmer at Wisconsin, part of one of the Big Ten championship relays. That's good to see too, and it's nice to have that. One other thing I want to just personally put out there is somebody from my high school, Pacelli High School in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. She's leaving after this year. She's a senior, so that's why. And I didn't go watch a lot of these games, but Pacelli Catholic girls basketball team has had a couple really good years, and this year they did actually beat Auburndale and advance through the regionals. Sarah Mueller finished this season. She's a 4-time all-conference player, 3 times a first-team all-conference. She was the CWC South Conference Player of the Year. She broke school records for 115 blocks, 750 rebounds, 1,409 points. She also had 169 assists and 104 steals. One of the best players in our school's history, and that's just wonderful. And I wanted to at least you know, say something nice about somebody from my school and put that out there for this week.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's always good to see. They had a great year. Congratulations to the Pacelli girls team this year. And Aaron had to go run, take care of something else here in our little break. But we'd like to say again, thank you for joining us this week. And remind you that you can follow me at Not So Humble Host. You can follow Aaron, of course, at Cheddar Talk. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Scani Johnny Pod. Remember to also follow Wendy. Wendy's got, you know, so many wonderful sports takes that are up there. Very much super upbeat Brewers talk at this point.
Absolutely.
It isn't always super upbeat, but it will always be out there. So there's always something you can find on her feed. And if it isn't Brewers, Bucks, or Packers talk, it's going to be beautiful pictures of mountains. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, sure, you betcha.
And again, thank you again, everybody, especially all of our wonderful international listeners out in the UK and the Netherlands and whatever other random places we get. But it's great to have you with us. Remember, if you're listening, anywhere you're listening, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever it is, please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. And of course, remember that whether you are on the town or on the go, that it is always on Wisconsin.
Thank you, Wendy.
This has been the Scani Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter